Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Welcome back to the political cesspool radio program, the first show since the re-election of the Obamanation himself. Wow, you know, last week's show was a lot of fun. It was the last show before the election. Here we are, the first show post-mortem. Saturday night, November 10th, and I'm here with you live from our flagship radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We have an absolute barn burner in store for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I am not joking about that. Keith Alexander is en route to the studio right now. He had a speaking engagement in Nashville that he had to attend this morning, and he will be here in just a few minutes. We might have to connect with him via the telephone here at the top of the next segment. Coming up later tonight, we're going to do 2 hours of post-election analysis, opinion, and commentary, the likes of which you will only find here on TPC. We're going to have some special guests come on to share their reflections of what happened on Tuesday night. That's for the first 2 hours. Then in the final hour, have I got a treat for you? Yes, I do. Our live guest on the air in the third hour of tonight's broadcast will be none other than George Wallace Jr., the son of former Alabama governors George Wallace and Lurleen Wallace. Remember, both his father and mother were elected to the highest office in the state of Alabama. His father ran for the president a couple of times, did very well in those campaigns. Movies, books have been made about the life of his father. And we're having him on tonight to give us a behind-the-scenes look at what life was like inside the walls of the governor's mansion of Alabama in the 1960s. Wow. George Wallace Jr. tonight, live on the political cesspool. I talked to him for about a half hour this morning. What a gentleman. A southern gentleman all the way down. You will want to stay through all the way to the end of the show tonight. But first, as advertised, the election. You know, I went to go vote on Tuesday, and I'll tell you about that. It was a lot more fun, it always is, being an observer of an election rather than a participant in one. When I went to vote, I took my daughter to vote. She's 2 years old, and I took her to vote with me, and that was a very charming experience. I really enjoyed that. She got the little I voted sticker when we went into the polling place. I actually ran into somebody who recognized me as host of the show there that apparently is a listener of the program, and he seemed really excited to meet me. But anyway, I took my daughter and we voted, and I went in to vote at the same polling place that I had worked for so many days during the 2002 campaign when I was running for the Tennessee State House of Representatives. So it brought back memories going back there, as it always does. But this time just to vote rather than to campaign. And then after we voted, my daughter and I went out to have lunch together. It was a little daddy-daughter date day. And then, of course, that night, as everyone, I guess, did, I stayed up late and watched the results come in. I was flipping back and forth between Fox and CNN. I sat there with a single glass of wine, as the Greeks say, all things in moderation. But as I was sipping it and watching the Romney campaign go down, you know, I began to think, frankly, of what I was going to say tonight. You know, I didn't have a dog in that fight. I knew no matter who won that election, we were going to lose. But, you know, ultimately, what I would say to you is, and I know as smart as our audience is, it's easy to get deceived by the hype that this was the most important election of our lifetime, that this was the fight of the century. But ultimately, if you take a step back and survey the landscape, we're no better off, we're no worse off than we were 4 years ago. You could easily make an argument that whoever won between Obama and Romney, that man would have been the worst possible candidate for our people. The news from the election was bad, don't get me wrong, but we knew it was going to be bad either way. The GOP, and I even heard Charles Krauthammer, of all people, mention this on Fox News during the election night coverage. What did they expect? You know, The Republican Party, people who vote Republican are generally good people. The leadership of the Republican Party is the politically correct whores that they are. They're the ones that are trouble. But most people who vote Republicans or Southerners or Middle Americans, Midwesterners, they're good people. But what do they expect? What did the party expect nominating a Massachusetts liberal to serve as the head of ticket for a party whose voters are center right? They're center right. I was happy to see Mitt Romney lose. The only drawback is that meant that Obama won. Obama certainly didn't deserve to win, nor did he deserve to win the first time. But at least it can be argued that he catered for his base. And his base is what? Guilty white liberals, feminists, blacks, Mexicans, Hispanics, homosexuals. He pandered to them, and they helped get him over the top. Now, don't make no mistake about it. White people elected Obama. If Barack Obama had gotten every homosexual, every black, every feminist, every Hispanic vote in the country, he wouldn't have carried a single state. White people elected him. Guilty white liberals. Romney could have easily won if he had done anything other than consistently run away from his base. He pandered to the only people who were not going to vote for him, and we talked about this for months leading up to the election, while abandoning the only people who did vote for him. You look at those battleground states, those non-battleground states. Romney carried only one of them, North Carolina. The states that he lost, the big ones, Ohio, Florida especially, Virginia, he lost by less than 2 points. If he'd have spent a week of his campaign trying to get out the Republican base vote, I think it could have been a different story. But at the end of the day, I don't care. It could be argued that with regards to foreign policy, at least, Obama might be better than Romney. And at the end of the day, people say, oh, now that he's got a second term and he's not going to be facing re-election, he's going to come after our guns. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. But he can't. The Republicans still control the House. And there are some good House Republicans, and they're not going to let that happen. And we don't even know if he's going to have an opportunity to appoint a Supreme Court justice in the next 4 years. So the more things change, the more they stay the same, the way I see it. Our base, was just spread across the board. I did, on election day after I voted, I came up and did a quick blog entry at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and I said, okay, audience, you tell me who you voted for. And just out of the first 30, 40 responses that I saw on the blog, it was amazing. It was evenly split about 8 different ways. People voting for Romney, some people voting for Obama even, who listened to this show. People voting for Virgil Goode, for Merlin Miller, for Gary Johnson. People writing in Ron Paul, people who didn't vote at all. I don't know if there was a clear winner in the responses that I received from this audience with regards to who they voted for or how they voted or if they voted at all. It was split really about 8 different ways straight down the middle. It was in equal pie proportions. It looked like a cheesecake. So there wasn't a consensus there. And Romney didn't give people, our people at least, a good reason to vote for him. And so he lost. Much more to come, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We're just getting started. Keith Alexander will join us right after this.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, folks, as we told you a moment ago, Keith Alexander is traveling as we speak, heading towards the radio station, coming from Nashville. He's nearly back in Memphis, but he's joining us on the phone now because we just couldn't go another minute without Keith's insight and analysis here. Keith, a week ago, we were doing the show here with a good friend from Canada who had come in to see us do a live taping, and we were talking about the election to come on Tuesday. Well, now that election has come and gone, and now we're in the first couple of days since Obama's reelection. Your general observations of what we witnessed on Tuesday night?
Well, as I recall, there was a lot of confidence in conservative quarters that Romney was going to win, at least in mainstream conservative quarters. I thought that all these polls that showed it to be a neck-and-neck race were somehow biased or front-loaded or whatever. But apparently they were pretty accurate. And I think that, you know, on Tuesday night I was depressed, like a lot of people, just that not that Romney didn't win, but that Obama lost. But then, I mean, not that Romney didn't win, but that Obama won. You know, and then I started thinking about it, and it reminded me of the old saying that it's ill wind indeed that doesn't blow somebody some good. And I thought, you know, did I really want Romney to win this race? And the answer is no. Because what this has done now, it's shaken people up. And I think the result is going to be increased racial consciousness on the part of whites, which is something that we definitely need.
Well, I think...
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think in some ways this will benefit us, because we know that the country is going to continue to go down the tubes over the next 4 years. It would have most likely continued that course no matter who won on Tuesday. But at least with Obama being down there, we're going to sink further into a depression. We're going to continue to have our liberties sniped from Washington. And as the country continues to go down, as unemployment continues to remain static or slightly rise, they will blame the party in power, at least the party who has the presidency. So this will bode well for, and again, is this for better or for worse? This will bode well for the Republicans 4 years from now. I think in the midterm elections, they will stand to gain, as is often the case, more seats in the House, maybe even the Senate. And if you're electing people like Walter Jones, our friend, or people like Ron Paul, that can be a good thing because there are good Republican House members out there. But so I think, you know, in some ways it was good that you have to look for the silver lining.
Well, and it's more than that, too. Let me just say this. This shivered the timbers of a lot of people and broke up their normal sense of complacency. You know, most people in America, and particularly most mainstream conservatives, said, you know, it's come say, come saw, you know, win a few, lose a few. They'll win this time. We'll win the next time. And now they see that ain't necessarily so, as I said in the musical Porgy and Bess. We've had a demographic shift that was totally predicted, totally forecast by, you know, people like Pat Buchanan and others. He said America, the Republican Party will either end third world immigration or third world immigration will end the Republican Party. And they have a critical mass now of Asians, Hispanics, and blacks, non-whites, who now control certain key, what they call swing states like Ohio and Virginia, Florida, Pennsylvania. And as a result, we may not have another Republican president for quite a while. But what this has done, it has been like a bucket of ice water in the face to a lot of conservatives, both mainstream and paleo conservatives, and white people generally.
Well, Keith, let me say this.
Let me say this first. I personally hope that the Democrats never run another white candidate for president, because I think that there is a subtle, subliminal security blanket that whites get from seeing that. They see another white guy on the TV and they say, well, you know, he's really not coming after me. Everything will be all right. But when they see a non-white, they think racial dispossession, and that's what they need to be thinking. They need to develop a sense of racial solidarity, and as Charles Krauthammer said, basically if you'd had more excitement among the white population for the Republican candidate, if you could get 65% of the white population that votes out voting for the Republican rather than 59%, which is what Romney got, it would have been a 49-1 landslide for the Republican.
And that's what I want to mention. The left isn't even hiding it anymore. You mentioned the demographic shift and how that benefited the Democrats, particularly Obama. A lot of mainstream pundits are mentioning this now, and that's new. They're admitting that the new racial demographics helped Obama get reelected. White Americans, they say, and quite proudly they say, are aging and are refusing to have children to counter the transformation as was foretold decades ago. And let's look at how the vote broke down. Blacks voted 93% for Obama, predictably. In fact, I think that's actually rather low for them, only 93%. Asians voted 72% for Obama. Latinos voted 71% for Obama. Jews, somewhat surprisingly to me, voted 69% for Obama. As much as Romney was in the tank for Israel, you would have thought he would have done a little bit better. Whites voted 59% for Romney. You know, it's interesting. I saw a lot of commentary this week from reporters saying how racist it was that nearly 60% of whites voted for Obama. They didn't say anything about the 60, 70, 90% of blacks, Asians, Latinos, and Jews who voted for Obama. They didn't say that was racist at all, but that 59% actually voted for Romney. They said that was racist. But, you know, the thing that the Republicans, and I saw all these Republicans this week, Keith, saying, you know, we should have just increased our outreach to Hispanics. That is what they think the solution is. No. Much more easier, as Buchanan has said.
Yeah, you know, Krauthammer got that one nailed. He said you have to reach in and get more whites, and you need to have a more compelling and attractive Republican candidate. Now, he did hit this nail on the head. He said that you have Mitt Romney, born in Michigan, a blue state, the son of George Romney, who was the most liberal Republican running for the Republican nomination for president in the 60s. He he even was further left than Nelson Rockefeller, you know, who they named Rockefeller Republicanism after. And then he was the governor of the bluest blue state of them all, Massachusetts, and he's supposed to be the champion of red state America in this election. What's wrong with this picture? But then, of course, Krauthammer shows his real colors. He says, they really need to run somebody that will really excite the conservative masses, like Nikki Haley or Bobby Jindal. You know, hello, where's the disconnect? But see, but he's at least right about, let's say, 75% of what he was saying there. That's what you have to do. You've got to basically energize whites to come out in larger numbers, because even with the changing demographics, whites are the largest demographic category by far in the electorate. We're 62% by conservative estimates, 63 or 64 by others, but either way, no one else approaches that. What we have to overcome is this sense of complacency and race neutrality that a lot of whites have developed, and I think that this election and all of the chatter about demographic change is going to make a lot of white people wake up, smell the coffee, realize that they need to have the same type of racial solidarity or sense of racial solidarity that blacks, Asians, and others do. Now, I have a son who is a tourist right now in a Latin American country, and I talked with him after the election. He said on Tuesday night he never felt so alone in the world as he did as a white Southerner in a Latin country. He said all the people in this Latin country are the mestizos, who make up the vast majority of the population, were just jubilant about this election and about Obama's victory. And he pointed out to them that most of the people over there are Catholics and
Keith,
not...
Hold it, buddy. Hold it. Pick up right there. We're coming up on a commercial break. They're playing our song. But stay tuned, everybody. Keith Alexander, James Edwards. Post-election analysis continues on TPC right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number 2, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. To get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, continuing our post-election analysis, opinion, and commentary. Again, folks, I want to impress upon you, we didn't lose anything on Tuesday night because Romney was not elected president. When I think of Romney, and we've talked about these issues as they cropped up during his campaign, a guy that publicly trashed the Confederate flag, stated on Fox News he'd wished he'd been born Hispanic, celebrated the fact that his father participated in civil rights marches, pledged his unwavering devotion to Israel, pandered at the NAACP convention, kicked out the Ron Paul delegates at the convention, cried with joy when his church was integrated. All of these things, you know, a message to the Republican bosses would be, you can't nominate a pro-abortion, pro-immigration statist, annoy the conservative base of your party, the Paul voters, by banishing their candidate from the convention, and expect your base to show up on election day. You know, he got 59% of the white vote, but 89% of all of the vote he got did come from whites. And of course, the Republicans are deeply ashamed of this. They'd rather lose and get a decent share of minority vote than win the White House with white votes. And so, Keith, before I turn it back over to you, I would just say, you know, again, oh, and by the way, you know, history was made. This was the first time, I believe, since the 40s that a presidential candidate and his running mate both lost in their home states when the Republicans dropped Massachusetts and Wisconsin on Tuesday night. But, you know,
Michigan, you know, if you consider Romney from Michigan, he lost that one too.
Yeah, so take it from there.
Well, I was sharing a personal anecdote about my son who is vacationing in Latin America, telling me how he never felt more alone as a Southern white than he did on Tuesday night in a Latin American country, because all the locals, most of whom are mestizos, were jubilant at Obama's victory. And he pointed out to several of them, people that he knew, that Obama was, and the Democrat Party were for abortion. And of course, all of these people, most of whom are Catholics, were opposed to abortion. Furthermore, he pointed out that they wanted to take God out of the language in their party platform. But none of this mattered, he said, because it was quite obvious the more he talked with them, they had this deep-seated, almost instinctual hatred of white people that trumps everything else, politics, economics, and it basically just reminded me of what the cultural Marxist and Trotsky said. They both said that the true fault line in human society isn't religion, it's not economic status, it's not the class warfare that Marx and Engels thought it was, it's race. And white people are uniformly envied and resented by every other group because we've either defeated them economically, I mean militarily, or dominated them economically. And I don't think it's lost on them that most of the first world in the nation is, in the world, are white nations. So consequently, they, you know, have a animus against us that is true and enduring, and I think whites are beginning to realize that, and they realize that they're not in control anymore. You know, it's an odd type of white supremacy to say that, you know, white people can afford to be different in their outlook. You know, black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, Jews, they can favor their own type and be racial partisans, but we're above that. Well, we're not. We need to do those tactics merely to survive. And I think you're going to see a burgeoning white racial consciousness. And because of that white racial consciousness, you're going to see, like you are in Tennessee, great gains for Republicans in state government and local government. For example, in Tennessee right now, there are only 7 Democrats in the state legislature. The rest of them are Republicans. And I don't think you'll see another Democrat governor in Tennessee during either of our lifetimes, James.
Well, Keith, I hear you in the hall of the radio station talking on your phone. So how about you hang up that baby and come on in and join me in the studio? Here he is, Keith Alexander, walking in the studio as we speak, fresh in from Nashville. Well, Keith, there was, you know, and to belabor the point, 93% of blacks vote for Obama. He specifically targeted them with his African Americans for Obama initiative. And again, there's no double standard there, right? Well, you know, there's that. Romney, on the other hand, did not reach out to whites at all, only got 59% of their vote, and yet he was still called a racist. But there was a little bit of good news yesterday, and this ties into what I was just saying. The media went out of its way to cast Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina, United States representative, United States member of the House of Representatives. They went out of their way, the media did, to cast him as a racist after he appeared as a guest on our show in September. Well, apparently the voters saw through the media's game and voted for him anyway. Walter Jones cruised to re-election on Tuesday, winning 70% of the vote in a state that Mitt Romney only carried by 1 or 2 percentage points. So score one for the good guys. Walter Jones came on our show, gave us a great interview, and did not apologize for it when he was called out. Mitt Romney, on the other hand, ran the most groveling and apologetic campaign this side of John McCain. And, well, he lost. So, again, maybe if Romney had only appeared on TPC, he would have won. I'm just saying. So Keith, your thoughts on that? Walter Jones comes on this show, gets called out for it, cruises to re-election because he didn't apologize. Well, I'm not saying that's why he won, but he didn't apologize and he accrues to re-election. Mitt Romney, on the other hand, apologetic, dare I say anti-white, and they didn't turn out for him. But Jones wins 70% of the vote in a state that Romney carried by 1 or 2 points.
Well, the lesson is don't apologize. What's our motto? Never, no retreat, no apology, no surrender, something like that. Well, we decided early on that there are no percentages in trying to cut and cover and grovel to the left. They're going to hate your guts even more. At first, they hated you because you were conservative. Then they hate you because you're weak. So consequently, the best thing you can do is do like Walter Jones, man up, own your comments, and tell people that, like he did, that he thinks the principle of opposing the war in Afghanistan is so important that he will take every opportunity to broadcast it anytime he wants to. That's the same type of courage of having the courage of your convictions that we need to have in every argument that we have with the left.
Well, so that was one piece of good news that came from Tuesday's election results that people might not have known yet. Walter Jones reelected. And as I said, and I've said it a couple of times already, there are some good constitutionalist Republicans in the House, members of the Liberty Caucus, for instance, of which Walter Jones is a member. They all did well. They stand apart from the crowd. Todd Akin lost. That was another result that people might not have known yet. But here's one that you almost surely haven't heard. And it is disastrous, perhaps more disastrous than Obama winning, the fact that Puerto Rico has voted to become the 51st state. Did y'all hear about this one? Puerto Rico, for the first time ever, has voted to change their ties with the United States and become the 51st state. Barack Obama has expressed support for the referendum and pledged to fight for the will of the people in the event that the Puerto Ricans choose to become a state. So now that they have, Obama has pledged to go to bat for them. Congress has to approve the measure. Puerto Rico can't just vote themselves in. But now that they have, the president has said he will go to bat for them. I certainly wasn't allowed to vote on whether or not I want Puerto Rico to be the 51st state. But if Congress approves the measure, and Obama has promised that it would come up now, Puerto Rico will become America's newest state. In other words, Keith, get ready for two more Democratic senators, another handful of Democratic House members, and a lot more welfare recipients.
Well, that's how he's done it. He baited the hook with enhanced welfare entitlements, and that's what turned the tide in the among the Puerto Rican electorate. Now, there are a lot of things that Obama could do that we can't undo, unfortunately, as a result of his winning this election. And he will prevail either through the power of judicial review or through executive order in accomplishing what he wants. There will be an amnesty, hide and watch, amnesty for illegal aliens in this country. He'll do it by hook or crook. Likewise, not only are there rumblings about letting Puerto Rico become the 51st state, and of course it would be an overwhelmingly Democrat state. Likewise, a non-white state. Of course, those two things are, you know, synonymous. Then the other thing is Washington, D.C. is being proposed for statehood. And they voted for Obama more than any other locale. 94% of the residents of Washington, D.C. voted for him. So that would be two states, four senators, probably over 10 House members at the very minimum, and that would permanently tip the balance of power.
We're going to pick up on that line of thought right after this. Stay tuned.
We got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, before the break, we were talking about some other interesting election outcomes above and beyond the presidential one, which we all know how that played out. The fact that Walter Jones won, good news. The fact that Puerto Rico voted itself to become the 51st state, definitely not good news if you are a conservative. But Obama says he's going to push it now that they voted to become a state. Of course, they know. I don't know what's taking them this long. Why would they not want to be a state? They're going to get all that free welfare stuff. Man, this is going to be a good deal for them. But why stop there? You know, yeah, add Washington, D.C. as a state. What? Hey, add American Samoa, add Guam, add Mexico. Let's make them all states. I mean, let's just go ahead and accelerate the death march. It's bad news if it happens.
Well, you know, the demographics of the United States have changed. Basically, the reason you see people like Bob Dole, John McCain, and Mitt Romney running for president, at least this would be the most benign explanation from it, from the standpoint of the elites in the Republican Party, because of the dynamics of red state, blue state America, the fact that most of the geographic land mass is red, but the heavily populated sections tend to be blue. Every election cycle, they have to find some liberal Republican who will be appealing to a few, the few what they call swing states, in hopes that they can bamboozle a few liberals in those states into voting for the Republican rather than their naturally attraction to liberals. You know, and if you're a liberal, why in the world would you want to mess with the Republican Party? The Republican Party, even as liberal as they are brand X liberalism. The real McCoy is going to be the Democrats and always will be. But, you know, Obama had no strategy whatsoever to reach out to white voters this time. Apparently, the people that are running the election in the Democrat Party knew that white people now were not necessary for Obama to get elected, or else they felt that they could take for granted a certain percentage of whites. And of course, among whites, women again, and particularly single women, voted for Obama and the Democrat more than men, and basically were the demographic that pushed him over the top. Now, there's another thing that Obama might do in this election, I mean, in this four-year term, that could be absolutely disastrous to the United States, and that is trade away our nuclear arsenal in arms negotiations with Putin. Remember, he ominously told Vladimir Putin, the head of the Russians, that he would have a lot more flexibility to deal with him after the election, and people were wondering what that meant. I'm afraid this is what he meant. He's going to trade away or cast into oblivion our nuclear stockpile, which will make us like a shorn sheep before the Chinese. The Chinese can just send their army over here and say, we're taking over your petroleum industry, for example, because we think you owe us too much money, and like a creditor you know, a typical mortgage, we now feel insecure. So we're going to secure it by basically commandeering all of your oil. And that would be one of the more benign possibilities. They could just come over here and basically enslave us if we don't have nuclear weapons. So this is a disaster that you get, the train wreck that you get, when you allow a true dyed-in-the-wool, not just liberal, but a Marxist. Obama is a cultural Marxist. He had a communist father. That's a Marxist. His mother was a Marxist. His grandparents on the maternal side were Marxists. His grandfather's best friend, a black man named Frank Davis, who was instrumental in raising him, was a member of the Communist Party. So what do you expect? You know, we have got a real, you know, about as far left a president as anyone could ever have imagined in their worst nightmare. And he is now free, without the pressure of trying to appeal to the electorate for re-election, to do whatever the heck he darn well pleases. And, I mean, the signs are ominous. He's going to permanently wreck our wagon. And what we need to do, if he, for example, moves for statehood for Puerto Rico and or Washington, D.C., we need to tell him, look, we want out of this marriage. Red state America and blue state America need to be two separate nations.
If he does push for the statehood for Puerto Rico, can you really see the Republican House opposing that? Because to oppose it would mean what? Of course it would mean in their minds that they're racist because Puerto Ricans are not, they don't look like us. So, I think he would get a token resistance from the Republican Party on that. I think it's a very real possibility that Puerto Rico will become a state, and we know what's bad about that. More Democrats in the House, more Democrats in the Senate. All the Republicans, Ed Gillespie, gotta have more outreach to minorities. Well, what more could Romney have done to alienate his base and reach out to the minorities than the campaign that he ran? I don't think he could have done anything. But, you know, Pat Buchanan has an outstanding column written in response to the election on Tuesday entitled, "Is the GOP Headed for the Boneyard?" And again, Pat says, you've got to go hunting where the ducks are. You have got to reach out to the people who will vote for you. Mitt Romney would have won those swing states, I believe, if he would have thrown a little red meat to the conservative base, yes, the white base of the GOP. Well, that's all Republicans are white. So 89%. We'll see. Buchanan, read Buchanan's column tomorrow. It's going to be at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. Pat Buchanan says the Republicans aren't whistling past the graveyard. They've got a foot in it. And Keith, real quick, because I want to cover one more thing before the end of this first hour.
Well, over 10 years ago, Pat Buchanan said either the Republican Party ends third world immigration or third world immigration will end the Republican Party. Now, what you will see is possibly the last Republican president ever elected in America, unless we do something like drastic, like become two countries, with red state America being as conservative as it wants to be, blue state America can be as liberal as they want to be. That's one possibility. Of course, all of these possibilities that are out there, none of them are good. All of them are they're basically going to lead us down the path to becoming the new Zimbabwe or the South Africa, in which whites are hunted and persecuted and an ever-dwindling minority. We've got that, and I think a lot of people are having the sober realization that that is the case. And I think what you'll see is a big increase in white racial solidarity and consciousness.
Last year, I spoke at the National Press Club and part of a panel presenting the majority strategy. If the Republicans had adopted the majority strategy, and you can find it on YouTube, you can find it at thepoliticalcesspool.org, what the majority strategy is. It's pretty self-explanatory. They would have won. They would have carried it. For the Republicans to win, it's a pretty simple formula. They seal the border and they deport the people who are here illegally. Blacks are not raising their percentage of the population. They're still at about 10, 12, 13%. Jews are not raising their percentage of the population. They're still in the low single digits. The reason Republicans are losing is because of all of the illegal aliens and the Hispanics who are voting. You plug a hole in the border, you secure it, you deport those who are here illegally, and you got it. You're not going to lose. But to do that would take more guts than the Republicans have. You would have to take, at least in the media's eyes, an unpopular position and lob the Hail Mary. But if it connects and you secure the border and you get the you do an Operation Wetback 2, you're good to coast, because the other minorities who are voting against you are not raising their percentage of the population like the illegals are.
Let me give you some details on that. First of all, in 1960, blacks were 10% of the U.S. population, whites were 90%. Now, whites are 64 to 62%, depending on who you trust. Blacks, though, are only 13%. Hispanics are 14 plus, like 14.3 or 14.5. Asians are in the mix now, too. They're about 5% of the population. Jews have actually gone down. They were 3%. Now they're 2.2% of the population. So, consequently, the big threat, the thing that turned Florida, the thing that turned Virginia, the things that turned Ohio, are basically the fact that we have all these Hispanic immigrants that have been let in by means of the 1965 Immigration Act, sponsored by Ted Kennedy and Emanuel Seller, a good son of Israel from New York, and the refusal to enforce our laws regarding immigration and sealing the border. Like James said, if we could seal the border, pump out the illegals, rather than us facing extinction, or conservatives and Republicans facing extinction, it would be liberals and Democrats facing extinction as far as presidential politics. And there's, you know, what you are seeing too, like I said, is a great increase in for the Republicans at the state and local level in red state America. For example, I think I just mentioned that there are only 7 Democrats in the state Senate in Tennessee now out of 40 members, and that we have probably seen the last Democratic governor of Tennessee during my lifetime or even your lifetime, James. So consequently, and I'm sure that's going to be replicated throughout red state America. But unfortunately, the states are basically now reduced to being mere taxing districts for the federal government. And of course, that's the furthest thing from the plan of the founding fathers.
Well, that concludes the first hour of tonight's post-election recap. Hour number 2 coming up. Sam Bushman's going to be with us, the owner of Liberty News Radio. More analysis from Keith and I. And then the third hour, don't go anywhere, George Wallace Jr. You're not going to want to miss him. Stay tuned, everybody.
Jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8th.